to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. We're going to read a few verses there, and then we're going to read a few more in Acts chapter 14. If the Lord will help us right here in this service. Acts chapter 13. Verse number 48. Amen. The Bible said, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in Iconium," chapter 14 and verse 1, "that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel." Amen. The Lord will help me here tonight. I want you to notice some things in those first verses that are read to you. They were in Antioch, in the middle of a revival, and suddenly they run into trouble. And I don't think I'm talking about here, but they was running into some problems, and some folks didn't like the way the revival was going. And they gave a few threats, and they got out of town. Then they go from Antioch, they go to the next little town, which was, I say little, the next place, which was Iconium. And when they got to Iconium, the same thing happened again. We've used the term deja vu, but over and over they went through the same thing again. They start revival. God gets to moving. They're seeing results. The devil gets stirred up. And suddenly they have to leave. And then they go to the next little group. And the Bible said in there, they preach the gospel. Amen. Now I know you're wondering where I'm going to tonight. I'm just going to try to preach to you a little bit here. But notice what happened after they walked out of Antioch. They didn't go and put the Bible on the shelf, backslide, say, "I quit," and give up. The Bible said in verse 52, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." If the Lord will help me tonight, I want to preach to you just a little while on having joy in the middle of trouble. Amen. Joy. I don't know why. I feel like some of you need a little joy tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. It might make you feel better if you'd smile real big. It may do wonders right here tonight. Amen. But we read here of two different places in my text that are read to you. And it was much the same thing that happened in both places. It didn't turn out exactly how they planned for it to, and it certainly didn't turn out how they wanted it to. But instead of stopping and meditating on their trouble and dwelling on their trouble, for some reason or other, when they got outside the city limits of Antioch, they got under the influence of the Holy Ghost and put everything that had just happened behind them. Amen. And I tell you, what we need in this hour is we need that ability to get over things and put stuff behind us. And there's only one way and there's only one remedy for that, is we're going to have some joy. Come on now. And before church tonight, without any much detail, somebody came to me and just made a little comment about something, wanted to know if they offended me, and I told them no. Years ago when I was pastoring, for those 11 years, the first 3 or 4 years, Brother Gary Hamm, they nearly worried me to death. I was sick, had ulcers and all the things that goes along with learning how to be a pastor, until I got to a point and I just got up and told them they wasn't offending me no more. And from that day on, they never did offend me again. I wouldn't let them. I wanted to have joy. Huh? Come on now. I'm telling you, you can get your feelings hurt, and you can get all bent out of shape if you like to. But you can maintain joy in the middle of everything that's going on. I wish I could tell you that when you get over this trouble, you're never going to have trouble again. But when you leave trouble, you're on the road to more trouble. But the key of how you deal with that next bunch of trouble is what you do when you get in the middle of everything and you walk out of one place and you're headed into another. What determines the outcome of that is what you do in the middle of this. I don't know how they've done it. You see, when you get to looking at this, bear with me just a few minutes and I'll try to get to preaching and tell you a few things here in just a few minutes. They could have stopped and meditated and talked about how bad it was and how many things are going on and just went into retirement or resignation or decided it's going to go back into their old jobs. But I'm glad that there was a determination there that said, wait a minute, we're not done yet, but we can't go into Iconium and be successful unless we have a change. So somewhere on the outskirts of the city there, when they got out there all by themselves, they began to pray just a little bit here, and they started meditating on the Lord, and before you know it, they were filled with joy. This almost sounds a little bit ironic, and you may think this message tonight is ironic. How, after over 5 weeks of revival, do you preach on joy in the middle of trouble? And I'll tell you how I can do it. It's because some of you got some trouble and you're really not dealing with it that well. And I'm going to try to preach to us tonight that there's some real good reasons why that we ought to have joy in the middle of everything that's going on. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing that I like better than joy. We used to sing the song years ago, there's joy in serving Jesus, real joy in serving Him. If I should start to slip away, I look up and I say, Lord, give me more of that joy. How many in this service tonight could enjoy right here for a dose of the Lord to come by? And let's just get in dude with some joy where it put a smile on our face and make us forget about everything that's going on around us. I may have told you here before, but in 16 years of preaching, I've come to one conclusion. If I haven't learned anything else, I've learned this, that folks that are under the influence of the Holy Ghost don't talk about what they're going through. They don't talk about what they're up against. I've never seen anybody that was shouting the victory, speaking in other tongues, ever complain about being able to pay their bills, or ever talk about their headaches. Come on now. Because while they're in that place, there is joy. And I'll tell you what we need tonight, is we need the canopy of God's glory and the presence of God's Spirit to settle over us. I don't even know why I'm preaching this to you, except I felt like the Lord dealt with my heart about it here. Some of us need some joy, that you've been through a lot, you've come out of Antioch, and yes, you've got a legitimate reason. If there was ever a reason to quit, you've got it. If there was ever a reason to go home and just forget about it, you've got the alibis in order. But I want to tell you something, just because they threw you out doesn't mean God's done. Just because you've run into a little snag with the devil and run into a little problem with people, it does not mean that God is finished. God's
begins to give us joy. I said, God wants to give us some joy. And we'll find right here in this little text that I read you, there are three reasons why that they had joy when they came out of Antioch on their way to Iconium.
Amen. I know y'all's waiting for me to start preaching, I think. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice what the Bible said in verse 52. Said they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. The first reason that I find right here for them to have joy is the Holy Ghost was still there. Huh? Just because they'd been put out of fellowship and they shut the revival down. And Noah, come on now, everybody there got a little agitated. Come on, it didn't mean that the Holy Ghost walked off and left them. I know there's been references around here during this revival of my Holy Ghost and their Holy Ghost and His Holy Ghost and this Holy Ghost. But I'm glad that the Holy Ghost does not follow the script of what some men write down. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. That even though they was thrown out and they didn't want anything to do with Paul and Barnabas right here, come on, the Holy Ghost still wanted something to do with them. And when they got outside the city limits sign, it was right there that the Holy Ghost was right there with them. There wasn't just two, but that third person of the Holy Trinity was right there in their presence. Come on, how many knows what it's like to feel the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you, we could talk about it tonight in this respect that there are people here. When you get to feel it, you get a smile on your face. That's why this Sunday morning service this morning that we had here was such a glorious meeting. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost got to settling down on people and you can see it in their countenance. They forgot about the fact that they hadn't had much rest. They forgot about the fact that they hadn't had much sleep. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost gets on you, it automatically makes you feel better. Come on, you wonder tonight when Brother Tom was testifying. He got to talking about the Holy Ghost and joining the Holy Ghost. I got to say, well, Lord, now I know what I'm preaching about tonight. I know why I got to preach this. He's up telling us here. I'm telling you what we need in this service tonight is to recognize that in everything that's going on and everything that's going wrong, that the Holy Ghost has not marched out. He's not walked off. And His very presence that I can feel in this service is enough, amen, to make my joy begin to be shown right here in this service tonight. I'm telling you, there is nothing that does people any better than when the power of the Holy Ghost gets a hold of their lives. I mean, you can come in with a frown on your face and the Holy Ghost settle down on you, and next thing you know, you're smiling from ear to ear. You can come in worn out, barely dragged through the door. I did a lot when I was pastor. I'd come in after working 10 or 12 hours, barely get home in time, run in, take a quick shower. I'd run down, be the first one in the church, open the door up, and go in there. And come on, some of them 8-hour day folks would come in and tell me how worn out they was. They had to work all the way to 3:30. Are y'all going to help me here? And tell me how rough they felt. And I really just didn't want to hear too much about it. But I'll never forget some of them services, Brother Jason Bailey. The Holy Ghost settled down there. And I forgot about the fact I'd been up since 2 o'clock. I forgot about the fact I'd been on the road a good part of the day. Out in the hot sunshine. And had to get up early the next morning. I'm telling you to make you forget about it. What's going on around you. I feel like telling somebody tonight that you're worrying too much. You're trying to figure this out. Instead of trying to figure out how you're going to get back in Antioch, let's get fueled up and filled up on our way to Iconium. We may not go back to Antioch and we may never be there. Amen. To do that job again. But before we go to Iconium, let's get full of the Holy Ghost. He's still right here in this service. God's wanting to do some great things. Hey, listen tonight. It's amazing how sisters can spend the time that they spend fixing their hair. Come on.
I mean, it takes me all of 20 seconds, and I'm done. I mean, it's just a quick, and I know you can't even tell I even combed it. And I don't know if it, I think I did. But tonight, I think I remember to. Huh? But I've seen my wife go in there, and I'm not making fun of it. I mean, I feel for her, really do. I've never had that much hair to deal with. I got 3 or 4 strands here and there, and they're going to go wherever they want to anyway. But she'll go in there and she'll put it up, and it don't look right. She'll take it down. She'll put it up, and then it'll pull it down. She'll pull it back, and she still don't like it. She'll say, my hair won't do nothing tonight. Come on now. But she'll finally get it to where it's satisfactory, and she feels a little bit content with it. She's not sure what everybody else is going to think about it, but it looks all right to her. And she comes in, boy, I like better. Come on, I know we believe in laying on our hands. I've seen it enough around here this week. That folks get the oil bottle and we pray for one another, and it's all right for the elders to anoint with oil. But what I like is when God begins to run His fingers right through their hair. Come on, a while they didn't want to come out looking like that. Come on now to church. When the Holy Ghost gets done, they sit there on a pew. Come on, about half had themselves their hair going this way and this way. They just shook it all loose. But there's a smile on their face. Come on, they almost look like it. They just got out of bed that morning, but they really don't care what anybody thinks about it. It really doesn't matter at that point in time, because the Holy Ghost is right there. And I tell you, that's what we need tonight. Get to the place that all that it matters is what's the Holy Ghost going to do. I tell you, He is right here. And the Bible plainly tells us that there is joy in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're missing it. I know we look fanatical up here, jumping around, kicking our feet, and twisting and squirming. And you may look and say, what's wrong with them tonight? Huh? You may think, what in the world's going on? There ain't no way that they feel the way they're acting. I feel better in the way I'm acting. I just can't turn everything loose it once seemed like. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost makes a difference. Come on, you know what a feeling it done to them when they get out of Antioch. They've just been rejected. They've just been cast down. They've just been talked about. Come on, the revival suddenly took a turn for the worse. And when they get out of Antioch, suddenly they come face to face with the very Holy Ghost that was anointing them just a little while ago. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost does not forget about us in the middle of our troubles. Amen. I got to hurry. The second reason that they had joy is notice. Amen. Hear what the Bible said, what it tells us here. That and when the Gentiles heard this, they glorified God and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They had some conversions in Antioch. Everybody didn't get it, but some of them did. Huh? I don't want to make anybody upset here tonight, but we can fret ourselves over them that didn't get it and forget about the glory of them that did. Huh? I know everybody didn't get it, but some of them did. Huh? Everybody in Flatwoods ain't got it, but some of us do. Come on now. I'm telling you, that's a reason to have joy. And if you can't shout because some of these around here has got it during this revival, I was recounting today and trying to think about this one praying, and I remember that one praying during this revival. And I told somebody today, I said, I ain't kept a count. I said, but if every sinner had come and prayed, we'd have probably had 50 or 60 of them, but we've had to be satisfied with the tithe off of it. Come on, we got about 10% of them, but I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to grumble. I'm just glad there's joy in the fact that some folks did get it. They may not be as many as we wanted to get it, but thank God some of them got it. I told my wife several times during this this revival, one thing that I knew, come on, one thing I really knew, I told her, I said, I know this, that Brother Jake, for all the times he's got in, and I said, I believe he really got a hold of something inside. I said, I believe he's going to keep him for a while. Come on, he'll put his shoulder to the ground, and I get to looking around, and I get to seeing smiles on people's face, and it gets me excited. There's some folks that's got it. Hey, come on, and not only that, I still got it. And that's the most exciting part. Come on, I'm not going to allow a little trouble to cause me to backslide. I'm still saved, and there is nothing that the devil can do about it. There's joy in salvation.
I mean, y'all might not knew that. But I'm going to tell you, you might not know, there's joy in this. Real joy. Did y'all see Sister Donna this morning? I mean, she's swinging them arms and jumping up and down and a kicking and stomping. The only thing I could do, when I was watching her there, I was thinking, my, man, that devil's getting beat to death. She's walking all over him. Come on now. I'm telling you, but everybody ought to be able to act like that. Come on, you can lock yourself up in a room and not even have a key. Come on and still have joy in your soul because you're saved. And that's what they got to thinking about. They were filled, not just had a little. They didn't have a drop or a speck or a trace. But the Bible said they were filled. Come on, it reached a capacity and began to flow over. And I'll tell you why, the Holy Ghost was there and they were still saved. And they got the thing that how God centered on that one. And God centered on that one. Hey, I'm looking around tonight at some folks that are sitting in this sanctuary. You're still saved. In spite of through the years, every Antioch that's come and the Iconium we're going into, we're still saved. And the devil can't do anything about it. So I tell you what we ought to do. Shake off the dust of our despair and the dust of our doubt and keep on walking like there is nothing going wrong in our lives.
I had a lady years ago. We had a little disagreement. It was one of them I happened to be right on. That didn't always happen, but I happened to be right that time. Bailed me out right there. I was right. It wasn't no argument. Scriptural interpretation. I had scripture to back my interpretation, and she did. I mean, just plain simple. But I'll never forget, Brother Bailey. She got mad and kept telling me that her Holy Ghost didn't work that way. And her gift didn't operate like that for us to just keep on going. And I couldn't. Because the Bible Holy Ghost didn't work that way. And so, I was kind and was real, real, real kind. I tried to be kind. But to make a long story short without telling you all the details of it, she got up and she went to the back door and she stomped her feet real hard as she went out and dusted her feet against us. I told them when I went outside, I said, it didn't do no good to dust your feet. You didn't stay long enough to get any. Well, come on, some of you smile real big here. But the reason they dusted their feet off wasn't because they said they wasn't ever going back to Antioch. It's just the mud and things that they accumulated and the trouble they's going through. They couldn't afford to take another pulpit with that showing on the exterior. So they shook it all off. And when they got to Iconium, everybody thought they'd never had any trouble. Yeah. Come on now. Are y'all helping me right here? I know this ain't the anthem that I was preaching about last night, but I ain't done preaching yet. I'm going to tell you something real good here in just a few minutes. I'm trying to tell you something good now, I think. But I'm telling you, we're shaking off the dust of fellowship. And we're shaking off the dust of closed doors. When the dust that they shook off was the dust of despair, discouragement, despondency, doubt, and all those other things, because you can't carry on with them things hanging on you. And I'm saying that I'm not going to let a few skeptics stop my revival. And they went to shaking it off. And when they marched right on into Iconium, you'd have never known they'd ever had a problem in their life. I can say, come on now. And they were still saved. And there wasn't nothing anybody could do about it. They marched right in there. Paul walked up. Come on now. I know we got to imagine just a little. Opened his Bible and read his text. Come on. And they thought he'd never. I can see some of them sitting in the crowd. I say, well, preacher, if you're going through what I was going through, come on, but they don't know. I just came out of Antioch, but I left the dust behind. I left the mud over yonder. I didn't carry it in here. Come on, and I feel like telling you something tonight. I'm going to get up and shake the dirt off your shoes and shake the dust off and get up and get your joy back in the Lord. Man, how many's glad they're saved tonight? How many really glad you're saved? Man, I love being saved. I've been saved all day long. Huh? Come on, now, I didn't get this 5 minutes before church. Huh? I didn't get it while the service was going on. I've had it all day long. And when they got out of Antioch, they had joy. Come on now. I wish I could just preach to her. You could just really get a hold of this. But I'm going to tell you the third reason they had joy. This is not the least important of the three. I wouldn't say that it's the most important, but it's important. And I'm going to tell you the third reason they had joy. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together. They had the Holy Ghost. They had the joy of conversion. And they still had each other. I know that may not be much consolation when you're looking around tonight at what you're having to put up with. Are y'all going to help me here? I'm telling you, we can have joy. I don't know about you. I'm glad to have you. I'm glad we're on the same side. I'm glad we're on the same team. Fighting for the same thing. Come on, there's not a person in here tonight that I regretted and hated the fact that I saw him come walking through the door. But I was excited. It made the army bigger. It made it greater. And the fact is, they were excited because they still had each other. I'm telling you, we can go and start counting it. Amen. And get so discouraged over them that ain't with us, those that are not among us, and forget about the joy that there is in those that still are. Hey, listen, I'm not in this by myself. I get to looking around and there's a host. Come on now. I've seen people sitting right here in this church tonight. That was, you know, I mean, it'd kind of been hard if I was the only one here. I mean, to have played the music, led the songs, said amen to my own preaching. But I get to looking around and you're here. From the eldest to the youngest. And we've got joy because of it. I wanted to shout tonight. I asked some of them if they was going to shout tonight. And, hallelujah. Are y'all glad to have each other? How many loves one another? Well, this is just what the Lord laid on my heart. It may not be according to the menu. It may not be what you ordered at your drive-thru prayer line. But this is what the Lord delivered right here tonight. I got you, and you got me. Hallelujah. I know there might be other evangelists you wish you could get right now. Hallelujah. But we got each other, and I'm excited about it. I know that it's been preached, and man, does it make some good preaching. Man, what if that text and a thought? When I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down with Peter and James and John and Paul and all these others. But you know, I didn't know them. I got a little biographical sketch of what I read in the Word of God about them. But you know, the truth is, Paul might not would have been my favorite preacher. I mean, I might have thought he was too slow. I had one guy fell asleep on him and fell out of the loft. I mean, he's long-winded in preaching. Come on now. Are y'all going to help me tonight? He might not have been your favorite. But I'm going to tell you, heaven's going to be heaven with the folks that I'm in fellowship with right now. Come on, you hear me now. I'm excited. Come on now for all eternity, Brother Jason Painter. I can share with you. If I never have a conversation with Paul or Peter or John, it's going to be heaven because we're there. And the Lord is there. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm afraid we're missing some things. Looking for people we don't even know, and people we've never met, and looking past the blessing of them that are with us, that's right here among us. My, I'm excited to shout with some of these saints of God that's right here with us tonight. We got each other. Huh? Come on now. Since I've been here, I've learned how to hit a ping pong ball. I never had hit one before. But these guys took time to show this old fella. Come on now. I still hit and miss it most of the time. But I'm so excited when I hit one back. I mean, it just... Y'all know that. Y'all can tell that, can't you? I mean, I'm thrilled. And I know they have to draw straws to decide whose team I'm going to be on. Huh? Because we're going to lose if you're on my team, but I feel like I'm winning. Because I got fellowship. And I got friends. I may not get to 21 first. Come on now. Hallelujah. But I got more than one. Hallelujah. I got me and I got you. And you got me. And man, oh man. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, I am in the midst of them. And if any two of you shall agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. I know this may not be stirring you, but I'm telling you, now look around. You're not sitting in a little building on a pew in a corner all by yourself. We're here. The Holy Ghost is here. The Lord is here. Man, we got a reason to have joy. I don't know, but if they'd have had a helicopter flying over that desert between Antioch and Iconium, and they could have got a view from above, and them two preachers out there, just past the city limits line, you'd have thought they was crazy. You'd have thought they just come out of the best revival that had ever been preached. Because while everybody there is screaming, get rid of them, they're outside and the Lord says, out. And they're out there just a dancing and a shouting and a come on. Hey, listen, we don't have to get downhearted, but brother, I wish you knew everything that I'm going through. Yeah, come on, I understand, but we're out of Antioch now. Let's get a little joy before we go to Iconium. Come on, there's been trouble sometimes around Flatwood, but before we go into the next one, while we got a little break here in the action, take a little time to shout on the one you still got. That is the thing we've got to be excited about.
Well, I ain't got... You met those folks that tell you everything they don't believe in, but never tell you anything they do believe in? I don't believe in this. I don't believe in doing this, and wearing this, and wearing that, and going there, and going here. Going over yonder and doing this, don't believe in this. That's great. Now tell me what you believe in. No, I don't believe in worldliness either. But I do believe in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. Huh? Come on now. And even if I didn't understand all those other things, I'd still tell you what I believe in. Huh? Come on now. I'm telling you now,
I don't know why I'm preaching this way. It's when stranger and I thought it'd go tonight. I was expecting just a complete gully washer here. Come on now, the rain just descend and just go sweeping down the aisles and they'd all just pick us up out of the floor sometime toward 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning under the influence of the Holy Ghost. But I had to come here tonight and tell you that what you need is some joy. And Cabell, looking at some of you here, you don't even have to be spiritual to discern that some folks need it. Come on now. Hey, look around here. Come on, what we've got here in this church tonight is we've got the Holy Ghost. We are saved. And we still got each other. When they went up to Jericho, if Joshua had been the only one marching, come on now, they really thought him strange. But there's a whole army going around there. Huh? And I want to tell you tonight the importance, amen, of togetherness. The importance of fellowship. My preaching has not been anywhere on the grand order tonight. I know that. And I understand that. But I'm trying my best to tell you for just a few minutes that I have here how good it is to have joy. Try it. You might like it. I mean, you really might. I mean, when you get joy, you don't get up in a bad mood. You get up in a good mood. You don't get up throwing off on everybody in the world. You get up and you want to brag on them just a little bit. Come on now. You got something you want to tell about somebody, and it's good. I liked one night during this revival. I can tell you this now. Come on, somebody sitting here in this building tonight. And they started to say something to me. And I really like this person. And they said, well, so if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. And come up with some half-witted comment that I took for a compliment. I really like that. Come on now. Hey, y'all going to help me here? It can be done. It may not always be the most convenient and the easiest course of action, but it can be done. It's anybody. I'm preaching my heart out to you, and somebody's still looking at me. Has anybody in here tonight got some joy? I got joy. The same joy I had last night, I still got it tonight. I mean, we could about shout right here without any music. Oh, now, because we got joy. My wife's getting ready to come. I can see when it got into Iconium. Barnabas didn't blame Paul. It's your fault. If you kept your mouth shut on that certain issue, we wouldn't have got thrown out. We still had some place to preach. No. I believe whoever it was took the first text. That those said, come on and preach. Come on and preach. We ain't got time to fall out here. We're on our way to heaven, and I'm so glad. Woo! I said I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm going with you. Aren't you glad you're going with me? Preach. Come on, Paul. Tell them about it. Come on, Paul. Preach. Barnabas, it's your turn. Give me that mic. I want to preach a while. Man, they went through it. Well, you know what? Got stirred up the first one, the Gentiles got saved. And the second one, the Gentiles were mad. Come on, that sounds like a real church, don't it? Come on now, you never know who is going to get stirred up. But when they finally got done Iconium, and they knew they was about to be stoned, they made an exit stage left. Come on, the next thing you know, they start them another revival over there in Lystra and Derbe. Are you going to help me here? I mean, they got excited over there. But when they got there, you never know if they had any trouble. I'm telling you tonight, don't let your trouble show. Shake the dust off your shoes and get up and don't let the devil know it's getting to you. Don't let him think he's getting the best of you. Put a smile on your face. Oh, are you saying, preacher, fake it if you have to. Make him think you're liking it. That'll make you feel better in the long run. Bulls, I would have missed the barn tonight. Probably. Joy. Y'all didn't have a falling out choir practice tonight, did you? I didn't slip over here and sit in one of these rooms and listen. I hope you didn't. I was in a church somewhere, and I ain't telling you where. Somewhere. I slipped in about 10 minutes till they was having choir practice. I slipped in and I seen a lot of straight looks. I ain't had no idea. They asked me to come play the bass. And they was shoving the mic under everybody's mouth trying to get them to sing. They didn't want to. Nobody wanted to sing. And God gave me a message that night. I got up and preached. It wasn't this. It wasn't what I'm preaching to you tonight. It was something else. And man, I found out after church. They had a blow up. And the choir practice. That's why I was just asking. I hope that didn't happen here tonight, huh? Yeah, y'all didn't fall out over who's going to lead the song, did you? Huh? Come on now. We'll all lead. I like the way them three got up here and they all just started singing the song. I really didn't know who was lead. It looked at me like they's all leading it. Huh? Come on, y'all ain't helping me right here, are you? Come on now. I like that. I said, hey, that's great right there. That's not like harmony to me. I mean, I'm not good at harmony. I don't know how to harmonize with anything. But I'll tell you one thing. I like folks getting together. That's the greatest thing in the world. Right here tonight. Can you imagine these 80-something folks gathered? Because you're here counting the children and all. That we're all here in one place. We may not be in one accord yet. But when we do, we're guaranteed the arrival of the Holy Ghost. So if we can all get in the same place and get the same mind, it might be amazing what might happen before this service is over. I know some of you's wondering, are we going on in revival? I don't know whether to shout or not. I don't know whether to shout because it's over or shout because it's going on. I done figured that out, didn't I? Come on now. Preacher, we're tired. I'm not up here advertising either. There ain't a subliminal message hidden in this thing. I'm not advocating for or against. But I am advocating we ought to have some joy. Come on now. Some of you, I'm not talking about your facial expressions, but you've been through the ringer. You've really been through it. We can account all your trouble. And it's bad. But do what they did. Shake the dust off and shout a little while. Shake the dust off and get in the spirit for a while. It'll renew your joy in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, don't stand there in that mud puddle and cry another tear and answer the contents, amen, of what's before you. But I'll tell you what you do. Change locations and get out there and get to shouting. Make the devil think you're having the time of your life because we still got joy. What's wrong with them guys? What are they doing over there? They're a shouting. What are you shouting about? We got joy. Everything must be going well with you. Go ask them in Antioch. I ain't telling you. But I am going to tell you I got joy. Woo! You have to go ask them the rest of the story. I'm not telling you. Let me tell you about Jesus. Well, they're getting ready to sing. My wife's getting ready to play. And you're standing. Because you've got joy in the Lord. And you're sitting if you don't, I guess. I don't know. Look at that! He's got it, and I got it, and we got it, and Paul and Barnabas got it, and you can have it if you just stop and take inventory, not of the things that are missing, but of the things that remain. Come on, I'll tell you what we got tonight. We still got a holy church. We still got some folk that's got victory. We still got some folk that's got power. We still got some folks that are under the influence of the anointing. We still got some folks that's glad for good fellowship. Come on now, lift your hands and let's thank God for joy. Well, you might as well step out of your pew. What's wrong with you, preacher? We're out of Antioch now. But before we get to Iconium, I'm going to take a little time and shout a little while. Because I still got joy in spite of my circumstances. In spite of what's going wrong, I'm still saved. Anybody got joy up here? Anybody got joy back here? Anybody? Come on, I feel like a charismatic preacher. Anybody got joy in this building tonight? I told them that real joy.